Listening to Coffee with Kenobi, you are, with Danzy and Corey Club, the podcast you're looking for. This is. Yes.
For an entire generation, people have experienced Star Wars the only way it's been possible, on the TV screen. But if you've only seen it this way, you haven't seen it at all.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
We've been waiting for you.
The Force is strong here, even stronger than the coffee.
Welcome to Coffee with Kenobi. Here are your hosts, Dan Z and Corey Club.
Hello, this is Dan Z, and welcome to show number 29 of Coffee with Kenobi, a Star Wars podcast that analyzes our favorite saga in a whole new way. With me is my good friend and co-host, Corey Club.
Hello, everybody. Thanks to all of you, December was our most downloaded month we've had. Our Coffee with Kenobi family keeps growing with each and every show, and we look forward to continuing to extend the conversation as we get closer to Celebration Anaheim and The Force Awakens. If you get a chance, please leave us a review on iTunes. The more reviews we get, the more likely we'll show up on iTunes searches. We truly appreciate the support.
In today's show, we get to share a cup of coffee with Rob Wainfer of The Bearded Trio as we take a look back at 2014 and Star Wars and discuss what we are most looking forward to in 2015. We will also introduce our topic for show number 30.
And now, let's see what's brewing in the Star Wars universe this week.
This is Rob Wainfer of The Bearded Trio, and you're listening to Coffee with Kenobi with Dan Z and Corey Club. This is the podcast you're looking for.
Luke, you're going to find that many of the truths we cling to depend greatly on our own point of view.
I must be allowed to speak.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Our topic for show number 29 is the year in Star Wars 2014. What news stories excited you the most? How did you feel about the way the information was released? What collectibles did you find the most appealing? On today's show, we talk with the great Rob Wainfer of The Bearded Trio. Rob's excellent blog, The Bearded Trio, is a wonderful site that covers the latest in Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, and John Williams. The site consistently features quality information and entertainment on all the things we love, and he even finds time to blog for us once a month, and as Coffee with Kenobi listeners know, offers your espresso shot with The Bearded Trio on every episode of Coffee with Kenobi. Rob's an integral part of fandom, and we are happy to speak with him. Welcome, Rob.
Oh, welcome. Thanks for having me on the show. I'm very, very honored to be on Coffee with Kenobi. Thank you.
Oh, well, we are very excited.
It's been a long time coming.
Yes, yes.
It has, yeah.
Oh, and what's fun, too, is that every week, you know, Corey edits the show, and we listen to him, of course, and we get to hear from you every week on Coffee with Kenobi, and to actually finally get a chance to speak with you seems like such a – we always say this about guests, but it's probably the most true for you. It's been a long time coming, and all you've done for our show and just for Star Wars fandom and in general, it's a real honor, sir.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I mean, I love being part of the Coffee with Kenobi team, but and to finally talk to you guys, I'm very honored. It's been, what, over a year?
Yeah. It definitely has.
I'm really excited to talk to you guys and to talk Star Wars with you as well.
Yes. And what a year in Star Wars it was. And for those of you listening, what we initially did was we pulled up StarWars.com's biggest moments of 2014, mm-hmm. and then we went through and looked at the shows. And Corey, did you see how many shows we put out last year?
We have, well, I don't know. I counted them. Okay,
55.
55. Yeah, that includes Rebel Reactions and our Clone Wars and our
and winding
chats.
Down with Williams.
Yep,
yeah,
that's impressive. Yep.
It's crazy. And for a bi-weekly podcast, that I believe that's more weeks than there are in the year. So. We were busy, and I don't see it slowing down. So we'll just jump right into January. Our first show we had our Razor's Edge chat with Martha Wells. When we talked with her about her awesome book. We had shows 10 and 11. 10 was Anakin Skywalker with Becca Benjamin, who, of course, writes for Coffee with Kenobi and the Cantina Cast and the Bearded Trio. She's a busy lady.
Yes, she is, yeah.
We had Darth Maul, the news that Darth Maul is continuing his story in comics. Mm-hmm. We learned that Marvel was getting Star Wars comics. Show 11 had The Psychology of Villains with Andrea Letamendi, which was an amazing show. And then we had our book chat with Joe Schreiber where we talk lockdown. So, guys, what stands out for you about January?
Yeah, I would say I enjoy talking to the authors about their books. You know, Martha Wells was awesome, and so was Joe Schreiber. And it, I mean, I just look at some of this stuff, and even just the first month we're talking about here, it's like, man, what a powerful month with some great guests. You know, Becca was awesome. Andrea was awesome on her show. She's got the Batman show that where they break down every episode of the old Batman 90s animation series, and that's a great show, and it was wonderful to talk to her and get her perspective on some of the villains and the psychology behind that. And just reliving some of this stuff is excellent. I mean, like you said, Dan, we've got tons of different shows under our belt this year alone. But these are great shows in themselves.
It just goes to show how lucky, I mean, to have Becca Benjamin on Coffee with Kenobi. I mean, she's so insightful as well, you know, and to have you on the first show in January as well. I feel like I've got something to live up to for the first show in January in 2015.
That's right. At the time of recording this, it is January 1 for us. And yeah, when I look back to it, I find it staggering that it was so long ago that we did these shows. It seems like even longer, if that makes any sense at all. But you know, talking to authors is always great, and two strong females in fandom, Andrea and Becca. So it was an honor to chat with them, and we found out about Marvel getting Star Wars comics, which of course we're going to be getting ready to see those real soon. It is really big.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest. I mean, I don't read a lot of graphic novels. I mean, there's my confession. But when I was a child, I'm very much a retro fan. And when I was a child, I did actually read the, you know, the old vintage Marvel Star Wars comics. And for me, that was big news to get Marvel back doing the Star Wars comics. You know, I will probably be getting the first Marvel Star Wars comics, for sure. I can't wait for them. Yeah, that was big news.
It'll be hard. You'll be hard pressed to find a Star Wars fan who won't flock to comic book stores to see these things, because not only are we going to get to see the continuing adventures of Star Wars and Darth Vader and all the characters that we love, but we know it's canonical, which that means a lot to me.
Yeah. And the classic covers of the Marvel Star Wars comics as well. I mean, I've got memories of those, and I just can't wait to see them again.
It's going to be great. You know, moving into February now, we're talking about last year, and we had one of our bigger guests on. We got to talk to James Arnold Taylor, the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi. It was a big one for us, because I know Dan and I had a kind of a want list when we started Coffee with Kenobi, and you know, Jat was up there at the top, and we really wanted to talk to him. We got a chance to do that. I think for us was really great to talk to him and get his perspective on the Clone Wars, also his career. We got to meet Chopper for the first time. They announced that. Yeah. Craig Dickinson, who had joined us for Rebels Reactions, for I think it was our first show. We kind of broke down some of the characters that have been announced so thus far for that animated series. And then for show 13, we talked with our good friend Jeff McGee from Assembly of Geeks and Talking Toys, talking about Star Wars toys. I mean, that was a lot of fun to break it down. You talk about our childhood. You're talking about, your childhood as far as comics go. You know, talking about toys is right up there as well, you know, about different things as far as, you know, what toys to play with as a kid or what we grew up with and different lines there.
For me, I'm surrounded right now in what I call my geek room. and I'm surrounded by my Kenner Star Wars figures collection, the vintage Star Wars collection. And for me, that was my expanded universe as a kid. Mm. Yeah, I loved that. And I just love anything Kenner Star Wars, anything vintage. And to get a scoop as well in February, to get James Arnold Taylor on your show. I was just blown away by that. that was incredible.
I remember that so well, because when we started to do that, like Corey and I were talking before, as we always do, and my stomach started to hurt because I was so nervous and excited. And that doesn't really happen to me very often. And I just thought, oh my gosh, we get to have Obi-Wan Kenobi. When we first came up with the idea, and Corey came up with the name Coffee with Kenobi, but I thought, what if someday we could get James Arnold Taylor to do an intro for us? And then when he did, it was just it was an electric moment. That interview really set the stage for us as far as us feeling comfortable and feeling like, hey, mm-hmm. we can get a chance to talk to these people that we admire and we've always looked up to. So that was really huge for us. That was very exciting.
James Arnold Taylor's Obi-Wan Kenobi. Sorry, really bad impression.
That was great.
is one of my favorite Star Wars characters in the Star Wars universe. I thought you've done such a good job of Obi-Wan Kenobi, full of depth, really deep. And I love the voice as well. Fantastic. I miss the Clone Wars.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I did too. He just like so many other characters in Clone Wars, yeah. he added so many dimensions to those mm-hmm. characters and really brought them to life in a way that even the staunchest of prequel haters would be hard pressed if they really took the time to watch Clone Wars and enjoy it. Oh, I absolutely. Think they would change their mind.
Absolutely. I like the prequels anyway. But I think thanks to the Clone Wars, I think the prequels has become in many ways richer than the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
You've had so many more hours in the prequel universe. And you've got to thank Clone Wars for that.
Very much so. And I know, Corey, you mentioned talking to Jeff, who's been such a great friend of the mm-hmm. show, too, and Assembly of Geeks and his writing for us as well. And then finding out that the Clone Wars Season 6 was announced, it was rumored for so long, and then we got it, and it certainly lived up to the hype and probably surpassed it, I would say.
I've just recently gone back and watched some of the last episodes of the Clone Wars, especially the Yoda story arc, mm-hmm. you know, the last three episodes. I watched those over the last few days, and I personally think that was good enough to be a theatrical release.
Mm-hmm. I did too.
Yeah, I thought it was incredible. The script, the animation, and the music, the soundtrack mixed with John Williams. Oh, I got goosebumps just thinking about it right now.
I know, and just all the things that added to the Force and the conversations yeah. we had because of that were phenomenal.
Yeah.
So then we jumped into March, another nice month in Star Wars. We had a sort of a full of Sith. Two for the price of one. We had Mike Pilot on show 14. We had Brian Young on 15 with Mike. We talked about Vader, of course. And then we talked with Brian Young about the prequels. I really couldn't think of anyone better to talk about the prequels. And then we had another important thing for us as far as Rebels goes. We got to talk to Greg Weissman. And it's when you schedule these interviews and you interact with these Star Wars dignitaries and celebrities, it's really a treat because you get to see what they're like and they're as advertised, and they're very personable and warm. And Greg had a nice enthusiasm for us. And that was a very unique show for us, too, because we had the distinction of calling Lucasfilm by mistake.
Yeah.
Because
really?
Yeah, we did. Yeah. We had – when you talk to them, you know, they have very strict guidelines about how you communicate with them, which makes sense. I mean, I'm sure they're they want their own privacy, and they sure. deserve it. My goodness, for all that they do, they're human, too, and so we got disconnected, and there was a little number that popped up, and I thought, oh, we can't lose Greg. We got to try to call him back. So we called, and the phone answered, and it was, hello, Lucasfilm. And Corey and I mean, we were doing
kind of lost it, yeah.
Yeah, I thought, oh, and we had that in a blooper we may release someday, but we thought, I said, dude, I just called Lucasfilm.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
I don't believe that was an accident.
It really was. It really was. Of course, I did save the number in my phone.
Yeah, I bet you did.
On his hand. It's written on his hand right now.
That's
yeah.
right. And whenever I sweat, it smears. That's not gross at all. We also had something important. In show 14, Rob had a pretty important interview that it's even more important now. Rob, talk to us about that.
Yeah, I got to meet Chris Monk at London Film Comic Con. And what a great guy he was. He's got a wicked sense of humor, and just being able to talk to him, I was in awe, really. I was shaking.
Sure.
You know, because I grew up with these people, and you know, and Chris Monk, he was just such a down-to-earth guy to talk to. I love the guy. Rach was with me, standing by my side, and You know, he's kind of flirting a little bit, and I love the guy. You know, he's such a down-to-earth guy.
Well, as we keep on rolling here with some of the stuff we're talking about here, April rolls around, and we got to talk to two of our bigger fans on Twitter. What I've noticed, too, as Coffee Kenobi rolls along, we get to connect with some great folks online on Twitter, on Facebook, and the people interact with us. And one of our biggest ones was the wrestler TNA Gunner, and his buddy Chad talked with us. We call it Dark Coffee. It's because they're big Sith fans, and they had a good time talking to us. It was a blast. I mean, talking to anybody, we could talk to so many people, whether they're fans or producers or whoever, and I think it's just a blast. Even before we got talking to Rob today, we were just excited to talk and interact. And you know, moving on to some of the shows we had that month, which is show 16 with Consetta Parker. Obviously, she's a huge fan, does a lot of interactions with Rancho Obi-Wan and helping out there. And she's great. She's just to contact her and get to know her over the year or so that we've been doing this.
Yeah, she's just become a friend.
Yeah,
she's a wonderful human being.
It is. It truly is. And you know, moving with show 17, we got to talk to Paul McDonald, who wrote the Star Wars Heresies and his fandom and how he got to put that together, which was such an incredible book in itself, as far as breaking down the prequels and kind of the, I don't know, some of the stuff that we like to try to do on Coffee with Kenobi is break down kind of the mythology and the background and the just different essences of Star Wars. And he was great to have on. For show 18, we had, you know, the cast was announced earlier that spring, and we had to talk about that, which was a blast to do. And just be able to talk Star Wars and have so many things pop up, even, you know, this early in the year last year, was great and exciting for Star Wars fans.
Well, that was such an incredible show because in the span of a week, we learned the cast of episode 7 because mm-hmm. the title wasn't released yet. We found out what happened to the expanded universe. We had Christian Blauvelt on to talk to us about that, cultural editor of the BBC. And that was a huge treat to talk with him. So I got to talk to an esteemed guest as well as talk about these monumental things happening. And the ripples from EU, which is now Legends, I think are still feeling their impact around mm-hmm. fandom, even though I think that we've come to a place of acceptance. And then we had Scott Murray on, and God bless him. He of course, Assembly of Geeks and a great guy, a great friend of the show as well. And we've been having him walk through the films, starting from Return of the Jedi, moving backwards. And we had him scheduled to talk Empire Strikes Back. That was going to be our main feature. And then, you know, oh yeah, here's the cast of episode 7. Here's this image. Yeah. So you have to go with that. But another exciting year. There were no April Fools in April for Star Wars, were there?
No. None.
I find that on the subject of Consetta Parker, I get the impression she's one of the most busiest people on the internet.
Oh, I know.
Yes.
I mean, looking at the quickfire questions that Consetta did for me a while back for the Bearded Trio website. And did you know that she she's going to kill me for this? She fainted in front of Jerry Bruckheimer.
Did she really? Why? What happened?
Well, I'm looking at her answer now because I asked the question: what was the most embarrassing moment of your life? And she is going to kill me for this. And she said, "I was working on an event for Disney and I had no chance to eat or rest the entire day, proving that she's one of the busiest people. And after 10 hours of going nonstop, I ended up fainting right in front of Jerry Bruckheimer."
Oh my gosh. That's so classic.
Sorry. So slightly off topic.
There. No, that's perfect.
I that's kind of my, when I think of Bruckheimer, I pretty much fainted too when I look at some of the Transformers films. Yeah. But not in a good
not
way.
Not a good way, yeah.
No.
Well, you know.
Totally with you on that one. We could do a whole show on that.
Oh, you bet we could. The first one, great, and then they just went down the toilet further and further. But, well, you know, enough of my subtlety. Yeah.
That's where we're different, guy. I don't like the first one either. But there we go.
Oh, wow. Well, then we get to May. And we did something we wanted to do our first year. We just didn't get a chance. We were very much still kind of learning the ropes. And in many ways, we still are, of course. But we had our May the 4th show, and that was an exciting one because we had Corey and I from Central Illinois, and then Ed Dollister from Australia, and Mark Dubold from across the pond. And that was an exciting show because we got to combine our loves of Han Solo and Indiana Jones into one blockbuster episode for May the 4th. And we had a lot of fun with that. I mean, they're great guys as well. And that was a great time. We had a very important show come out with our very first Winding Down with Williams special. Rob, how did that come to be? Because it was certainly wonderful, and it certainly brought me a lot of peace of mind as I was grading or just relaxing, and people loved it.
Well, my job entails me going around in a van a lot, and I listen to classic FM, and I find it quite relaxing to listen to that station in the morning. And I have somebody on, and they just have an hour of just relaxing music, and this person, you know, softly speaking, introducing each piece. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if we could just have an hour of or so of just John Williams? So I thought, well, it would be even better if we could just get the rendition, some of the best fan renditions of John Williams. So yeah, that's how that came about. And I love just browsing YouTube, listening to John Williams, especially renditions by fans. So I thought, like, I want to put all this together. So that's where I thought, let's get that show together.
And it was great. And of course, we'll talk about that as we move along through the year. But we also had on Rebels Reactions, we got to have Vanessa Marshall, and that was a huge thrill. She is, of course, you know, an incredible ambassador for Star Wars and fandom, and one of the nicest people you'll ever get the chance to speak with, a genuine soul, a huge Star Wars fan, a good person.
She's a huge Spielberg fan as well, by the way.
Is she really?
She is, yeah.
doesn't surprise me at all. It's going to be fun to get a chance to meet her at Celebration. And then May was also important because it was our one-year anniversary, and that was an amazing show. We had a lot of people sending us their well wishes, and we had a lot of fun bumpers to play, and we got to talk to Steve Sansweet. That was, Corey, that was probably, we had James Earl Taylor and Steve, and at that point, we thought, oh my goodness, we could barely contain our excitement because that was big. That was so exciting. And well, he was a wonderful guy.
Also, yeah, like we talked about getting some of these big names that we're talking about. These people were genuine. Just to talk to you like you're, you know, we've been friends for years. Even, you know, like Steve would just come on and be like, hey, you know, let's just hang out and let's talk about Star Wars. And that's exactly what, again, you know, what we want to do with our podcast was have friends come together and just, if you're sitting at a coffee shop, to talk about Star Wars. And everybody we've talked to just fit that mold perfectly. And we just have had a blast. We've had great, you know, other fans on that have joined us along the way. You know, Aaron Harris did Star Wars Weekends this year and broke that down on his blog, kind of every weekend that he hit. Some of the people he got to meet and interact with, and he came on and kind of gave us a recap of that, and his excitement was ecstatic, and it was just easy to feel that, you know, and you know, just some of the folks have gone out this year and just reported on events for us or Comic Cons and stuff. We've always wanted to get them on and get them, you know, a chance to be able to kind of give us, you know, their fandom and how they experienced it, and give us their background as far as, you know, if we can make it to the event, they can enjoy it and have a good time.
And let's be honest, Aaron, I mean, besides, again, we keep saying this, but because, like you said, we wanted to do this to be a part of the community and embrace the community and just make sure everybody got a voice. Aaron set the bar for reporting, for being a contributor to Coffee with Kenobi. I mean,
they were awesome.
Yes, like his the videos and his blogs and the people he got to meet. He got an impromptu conversation with James Earl Taylor. He ran into Tracy Canobio. He's met Trisha Barr and Trisha Delgado and Eric Geller.
Fingertips away from Mark Hamill, too.
Yeah. And then the good folks from Skywalking Through Neverland. And he's just he was amazing. And I got such a big kick out of Star Wars Weekends because even though I didn't get to be there, just checking our Twitter feed, seeing his pictures, it makes you feel a part of it. So we tip our fedora, Aaron, because he was awesome.
As you say, he definitely raised the bar.
Very much so. Very much so.
And then, you know, halfway through the year there, we're in July.
June. We're June now.
I'm sorry. We're in June. Yes, June. I'm jumped ahead. Yeah.
We're light speed here.
I'm excited.
Actually, we go back to May. Do you want me to read out? Shall I read? Because you had Mark Newbold on the show.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Shall I read? Do you want me to read out what his embarrassing moment?
Yes, please.
Please do.
Let's embarrass him a little bit. Yeah.
Enjoy, Mark. Yeah.
All these people are going to be unfriending me after when this goes out. So I asked him what his embarrassing moment of his life was, and he said he was sending a question to Empire magazine, drunk, for Ewan McGregor, and seeing it replied in print wasn't a highlight, especially as the question made zero sense. And he called me an ass, was his words.
Are you kidding?
No, oh boy.
Those are his words.
That is hilarious. That is hilarious. And he probably took it with a grain of salt too. And
I'm sure.
Talk about another fun personality. I don't think there's been a single person we've interviewed from across the pond that hasn't been a wonderful person. So, you know, Rob, you're certainly a big person waving the flag for that too. So.
It's not the end of the show yet.
That's true. I have faith. So, Corey, I think we're on June.
Yeah,
there, right?
we're down to June now. Yes. And we had a couple more shows there. We have a show at 20. We talked rumors with the last part of Full of Sith, Bobby Roberts, who has excellent describing skills. He is quite a quite a guy for that, knack for that.
He is a wordsmith. He is a gift for the comparison.
And we did a couple Clone Wars as we finish up the season.
Our very first one.
With Eric Giller from...
Forcecast.
I'm sorry. I'm having the mind mix here.
That's all right.
But yeah, he was great to talk to. Yeah, I need to slow it down here. But yeah, Eric was great. A great guest to have. And what a great little show for us to start up, Couple Clone Wars. You came up with that title, Dan, for that. Oh, yeah. And it was fun to go through those to get a kind of a different perspective as far as, you know, the new season that was released on Netflix, to be able to binge watch that and kind of take those one at a time. Show 21, we talked to I know another person off our list was Ricky Briganti,
yeah,
from Inside the Magic. And I know right around that time, my wife and I were getting the plans together for making our own trip to Disney. And he was great to have on and get some tips. And talk about Disney and the parks, because as the year goes on, we do get into some theme park news and some announcements there. So it was great to have him too.
We also saw the return of Aaron Harris, and mm-hmm. This was when we also found out that Harrison Ford was injured, and man, did that cause a lot of shockwaves throughout the internet?
Yeah, didn't it?
It was scary too, wasn't it, Rob?
Cock, yeah, how? I'm not being funny, but how did that happen?
I know.
Yeah, one of his most embarrassing moments, maybe.
Possibly.
Yeah, that just goes to show the shoddy British workmanship, though.
She probably said she would get us out of here, and then, you know.
Yeah,
that was there was a little bit of concern there of how it was going to affect filming, but clearly it seemed to be okay, and thank goodness for that. Show 21 was very special for me because... some of the earliest podcasts I ever listened to were the IndieCast and Inside the Magic, and Ricky Briganti has always been sort of a podcasting hero to me. So just being able to talk with him, and like you said, Corey, like we get to talk to people, we're very blessed to do so, mm-hmm. And they just treat you like they've known you forever, and that was great. That was so exciting. And Eric and Bobby the same way. It was just such a thrill. We had a good time in June. It's summer's kicking into high gear and all kinds of stuff going on, and so it was cool, and that jumps us right in. Do you have any embarrassing things for any of them, Rob?
well, I did actually look at I'm actually on the page for Eric Geller now, but
I didn't see his.
He was one of the first we did.
I'm
just reading it now. I'm gonna get so slated for this. Oh, he's just gone on about he was in a Sherlock Holmes spoof when he was a kid.
Cool.
And he played the lead role of Shark Log Hog. and midway through a monologue, he abruptly forgot the rest of his lines. He was
fast on his feet. Yeah,
yeah. I think he's recovered. He's done well.
Yeah, I think he's done pretty well for himself. He had a great year for himself. I know. And then we get to July. We're halfway through the year. We had Dak. Corey, we had Dak.
Yes.
That was the first John member Morton, of the original trilogy. We got to speak with John Morton and talk about the phrase, a gentleman and a scholar. It never was it more true than being applied to him. And Jeff McGee famously said he wished that Dak or John would adopt him. He was so fun. And then we had another couple of Clone Wars. We got to talk to Tasia Valenza, which was wonderful. She was just a very classy person and voice of Shaak-Ti on the Clone Wars. And we had a wonderful time with her. She was just really, really fun. She's one of those people that stands out to me as just having a great sense of humor and not taking life too seriously, but taking very much what she does seriously and professionally. Yes. And that was great. We also had we had James Howell, one of our bloggers and longtime friend from Geeks Helping Geeks. He interviewed Mark Dodson. That was a thrill. Mark is the voice of some of the Gremlins and Salacious Crumb.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the first show, second show, winding down with Williams being the first, where we released it and you and I weren't even on it. We just got to sit back and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know, because we're big fans too. And so getting to hear James, who did a wonderful job. Very, very good. Mark was very, very awesome, very gregarious and personable. And then we had another couple of Clone Wars with our contest winner, Gar Van Orden, and he was amazing, wasn't he?
Yeah, he had a lot of fun. Yeah.
He's a theater teacher, and our contest was if you did a review on iTunes, which, you know, by the way, feel free to pause the show and do a review right now for us. Okay, thanks. Thanks, everybody. Yeah. We appreciate it. He was amazing. I mean, it's just like, talk about the stars aligning. He was awesome with his analysis. And then we wrapped up July with a book chat with Jeffrey Brown, who's, of course, the incredibly talented artist and illustrator for Goodnight Darth Vader and Vader's Little Princess and Vader and Son. And who knew he was lived so close to where we are. But that was quite a thrill, too.
I'm just looking at John Morton's IMDb page. Obviously, he played Dak, right?
Yes.
I didn't know he had a part in Superman 2.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't actually know that.
I can't even remember now. I remember him talking on Full of Sith, which is how we even found out that he was even doing podcasts. And he mentioned that, and I thought, whoa, that's pretty serious.
Yeah, he played Nate, who was on the moon at the beginning of the movie, who actually sees the bad guys going past.
We'll have to have him back on.
And he reports back and says, I think I just saw a girl. You know, that's the line.
That's a good line, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
Isn't that wild?
Sorry, I'm just taking you completely off topic.
No, it relates perfectly.
it's part of the fun of Coffee Chat. You just kind of go all over the place with it because there's a lot of fun that can be had. We could easily spend 3 hours doing this.
Mm-hmm.
I know Corey's going to introduce August, but I just want to point out real quickly, Corey, 7 shows in August.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
I'm looking at the bold list.
How do we
not
lose our minds?
I have no idea. Probably because we took a little bit of a break in September. So.
Yes, I think so. I think the key there is Corey and I, when we tape, we try to tape as many shows as we can in one night and just sort of try to distribute them that way. That seems to work out pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Was it raining a lot over there in August?
Maybe. Yeah, no kidding.
You're bored, yeah.
Not really. Not like California had last month.
Yeah, getting to August, we got to talk, to Troy Metzler, and he did San Diego Comic-Con for us, and kind of his experience. He's almost been, I think he had mentioned, almost every year. He'd missed only 1 year for San Diego Comic-Con, and he had a great time there and had some stuff for us there. We talked to Ian Desher, which we talked to him previously about some of his other books. He did the William Shakespeare Star Wars novels. Mm-hmm. We talked to him about the Jedi Doth Returns, which they had a really
much
nice.
What's going
to
happen with that? This year too.
I was going to say they really did a nice little kind of a what do you call it? Three books bundled together for. Mike from the Full of Sith had gotten that for Christmas, and he had kind of announced that this year. But Ian was a great guest to have on, and he's been on in your classroom a couple of times, I think.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of fun to have him. Going down the list, we had a couple of Clone Wars with Laird Malmed and Chris Hamilton from the IndieCast. Those guys were great talking those episodes.
Great show.
Those, I mean,
and so, Star Wars and Star Wars Kids Cast too with Chris.
Yeah, with Chris. That's right. That's right. I think it's so great that they can kind of shift their fandom to whatever the topic may be, and just go in the depth and just enjoy it. So it was a lot of fun to talk to those guys. Show number 23, we talked to Adam Bray, who wrote the Rebels visual guide. He was a lot of fun and talked about that. We got some more information about talking about Celebration. We had our Coffee with Kenobi t-shirts that debuted this month, and we're looking to get those out. I still wear mine all the time.
Yeah, I did too.
I got one.
There you go.
One of the first ones.
I remember you talking about that. And Rob, you on that episode, you interviewed Corey D. Williams. You want to talk a little about that?
Oh, Corey D. Williams. I mean, he is every bit as cool as his father.
Which is saying something.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, the guy was just so nice. He was just so cool. It was, again, shaking. It was just an honor to interview someone like Corey D. Williams. He's a fitness fanatic. I think it was the third day at London, and I had stuffed myself silly with fish and chips, McDonald's. So when he started talking about fitness, I started breathing in. But you know, the guy, I asked him about his experience on set, and I wanted to find out a bit about what Richard Marquand was like working with George Lucas. And it was quite funny because he said that George Lucas, when they were on set doing the sail badge scene, that over the days that they were shooting, that George Lucas wore the same shirt.
That's hilarious. So, probably didn't get the same paycheck, though.
Oh, probably not, no. But, what a great guy. Great guy. And very, as I say, very cool. He did a couple of impressions of his father as Lando as well. I felt quite honored to listen into that. Yeah. Yeah. That was very cool.
pretty slick. That was a great conversation. It was just a great month. August was a great month. Mm-hmm. And, as you said, we got to find out more about the Inquisitor and Agent Callus. Concetta comes back. Mm-hmm. Just a lot of fun things. We got to talk with Brian. And it's neat. Usually, whenever we have someone on for the first time, we ask them their five questions, which, of course, we're going to be doing that with Rob here very soon, which is exciting.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I'm joking.
He's our sweating,
but, that's right. But then we forgot to mention this before, but then we shifted into what I mentioned the top show. We did so many shows in 2014. And I was starting to notice we were putting out a lot of content. But then people would look at us and they'd say, oh, they're show number 24. They've been around for how long? Do they ever put out shows? Of course we do. So we started putting in parentheses at the end of the title of each show, how many we put out to that point. So it gave us a little more of an idea of what we're covering and the kind of work we're putting into it. Cause I think that shows, feel free to invest in us because we're going to be putting out some information. Hopefully it's something that you will enjoy and want to listen to. So, August certainly went a long way towards me having to count on my fingers and toes how many we put out.
I also like to mention that we had John Jackson Miller on, and it was the first book of the new, well, it was Star Wars: A New Dawn. It had featured Kanan and Hera as the characters, and that was kind of the first release as far as the new canonical materials that are coming out as far as comics and whatnot. So that was kind of the first shot in the dark there for the fans to kind of get gear up for the new canonical information we're getting. And then we had, for show 24, you mentioned we had Jordan Mason on talking Darth Maul. Mm-hmm. And he was great to have on too.
He was very insightful. He's contributed a few blogs to StarWars.com, and he talked about Darth Maul, who's of course a huge fan favorite for so many of us. Mm-hmm. I do want to say real quickly, having John Jackson Miller on again was cool because he was the very first guest we ever interviewed.
Yeah.
So, and he's really funny, really smart. Talk about a collection of comic books, too. His stories about getting that separate home and just basically it's full of comics. That's my wife, and I think she still has her eyes in a certain direction. Like, what? Is it, Rob, your wife, is she into a lot of the fun things we're into as well?
She's not into Star Wars or Star Trek or anything with Star in it, really. but she does class herself as a geek, you know, and she admires my collection. And she contributes to the collection quite a bit, so
that's good.
Yeah, I'm quite lucky in that sense.
are you big into Doctor Who, aren't you both?
Yeah, we both love Doctor Who. I mean, it's filmed just down the road from us.
Cool. You
know, yeah, it's about 10 miles down the road, the Doctor Who studios. So yeah, it's filmed, and they do film around our area quite a bit. I'm on the books for the extras as well, so I'm hoping I get a call at some
great.
Point.
Well, that's pretty neat.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool, actually. Yeah,
that's very cool.
But yeah, we love Doctor Who. She loves Torchwood and Walking Dead and Falling Skies, which, you know, is executive produced by Spielberg. She loves anything like that. But I just can't get her into Star Wars.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, I need some tips on what we can do here.
Oh man, we need those tips.
Yeah,
well.
Yeah. Let's know if anything works out. Yeah.
If you do, we'll write a book about it. True confessions. I've never seen a single second of Doctor Who.
Have you not?
I never really? Have. It's not that I don't think it sounds cool, especially the David Tennant stuff. I just never have. Yeah, Corey, have you?
You know, I gave it a shot. I think. Oh, it was about a year ago or so. I thought, I'm going to sit down and see what this is all about. So I was on Netflix and sat down and started watching, and it's just so bizarre to me. And I was like, well, what in the world is going on here?
And I will grant that. It's a very bizarre show.
but so are we. So you think
I think it'd be right in there, but I don't know. Didn't catch on for me too much. Maybe I'll give it another shot in 2015.
Yeah, you should do that. Just don't watch the Christmas specials, right?
Oh, okay. Christmas specials don't seem to work out, do they?
Oh, they're so far out there. They're in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, even farther away.
Even farther than the Star Wars Christmas special, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, maybe not. Maybe not.
I will say, talk about getting off the rails. I did finally watch all three seasons of Sherlock, and oh my gosh, that might be one of the best TV shows. That might be one of the best TV shows I've ever seen in my life.
Well, Sherlock is just filmed, again, just down the road from us, because it's by BBC Wales.
Wow.
And it pains me to say that I'm on the books for the extras. And I had a text message a few months back to do a wedding scene for Sherlock. And
whoa.
I couldn't do it.
I
had other arrangements, and I was and the wedding scene was in I think season 3
show, I think,
yeah, where Benedict Cumberbatch is going around, you know, and analyzing, and I look at that now. Yeah. I can't help but watch that episode and think, oh no, with my, you know, my head in my hands. So
I think you must have been at the table that had a place card where no one was sitting. Is that you?
Yeah.
We'll just pretend that that was where you were going to sit.
Yeah, maybe. But well, we fantastic show.
Oh, absolutely. So September, as Corey said, we took some time off. Probably should have taken more. That's the first month I go back to school, and that's always quite a month. But we only had two shows that month. But what shows they were? We finished off our Cup of Clone Wars as far as looking at season 6 with Jason Ward of MakingStarWars.net. We talked about the Yoda arc, which Rob talked about so eloquently before, and very powerful, very fun. Jason was a great guest, to no one's surprise. And then we had an amazing book chat with Chris Hamilton of How Star Wars Conquered the Universe.
Yes.
And I finally just finished that book last week, and oh my goodness, I'm going to try to get a full review here coming up fairly soon. But it was it's must read for Star Wars fans. There are people who are just fans of culture in general. It was phenomenal. That was a great conversation.
I'll have to check that out. That's going on my wish list.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's definitely on my list for 2015 to pick up and check out. So,
and we highly recommend that when you do decide to purchase it, everyone, go through our affiliate link on our Coffee with Kenobi, and that would not hurt our feelings in any way, shape, or form.
I promise I will.
There you
awesome.
Go.
We definitely had another big month in October. It's getting back into the swing of things.
Six shows.
Huge
shows.
Rebels Reactions show was premiered there. They had the premiere, as Dan and I talked about. We got together for that one.
For Spark of Rebellion.
Spark of Rebellion. And that show kind of just took off. I mean, like, it just flew by. I'm surprised it's just pick it up now again. But we had Craig Dickinson on.
Who does Rebels Reconnaissance for us, reviews all those shows. Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you guys are interested in checking out the show, hop on our website and check out the blog that he writes. Basically, he drops it in right when the show ends that night or that next day. So check those out. We had Jean-Marie Marcis from the Wookiee Gunner on, and she was great guest to have on. And we had Matt Moore as well. He talked about droids with us. He was a lot of fun to have on as well.
He's been a phenomenal scribe. Mm-hmm. We call him our comic scribe because he's got the inside track on all things Marvel and Star Wars. And man, what a writer he is.
Yeah, he was great. And as far as going on to Rebel Directions, we had Trisle Delgado on for one of our episodes as well to chat with her, and she was great. Insight into her fandom and how she's getting along with Rebels Reactions. And Dan, we had Freddie Prinze Jr. on along with Mike Pilot, which, oh my gosh. It's, you know, you just talk to these actors and these folks who make Star Wars for a living. I mean, and it's their job, and it's, you think that, you know, your hands are shaking, you're getting sweaty and you just don't think it's going to go very well, but they're so down to earth and so, you know, enjoyable to talk to as far as, you know, talking their fandom for Star Wars. And they're just as jazzed up as you are. And it puts you kind of in, you know, a good place where you can feel like, oh, they're just Star Wars fans just like us. And Freddie was definitely, you know, a symbol of that. And I really enjoyed talking to him.
So I'm curious. So, I mean, you get someone like Freddie Prinze Jr. on your show. How much notice do you get?
That's a good question. Basically, Twitter is a wonderful thing. Yes, and yes. You know, we just reach out to people and you know, through different channels too, through emails and things like that. And it's pretty much up to them. Like, there are some people you reach out to and you may not hear back from them for months, whereas some people respond within 10 seconds. Mm-hmm, so you just really never know. And of course, when it's someone like Freddie Prinze Jr., who was a huge star in his own right even before Star Wars, you just say, Corey and I just said, you know what, we'll clear time to anything we can do to get him on. And he was phenomenal. It seems like someone we went to high school or college with. He was just like a really laid back, down earth guy. And I think anyone who listened to that show felt like, oh my gosh, he's one of us. It was one of the coolest interviews we've ever done.
So you know, he says yes, and then you're like, wow, what do we do now?
That's exactly how it goes. Yes.
And then you jump on your computer and try to come up with some good questions and hope that it simulates some great conversation, and it exceeded our expectations.
It was a good show.
Oh, thank you.
Speaking of shows, we had show 25, Catherine Tabor, another huge Star Wars celebrity. I think she was on our big list as well for Coffee with Kenobi, as far as having, you know, those guests we want to have on is, you know, top of our list. She was up there. We also had a fan favorite on, Ryder Waldron, who blogs for us as well.
Yeah. And Cantina Cast too.
And Cantina Cast. Exactly. And he talked about Salt Lake Comic-Con, and, we talked about, another big thing in the Coffee Kenobi world. We announced the Legends Library.
Yeah.
And put on the first, episode for them, from them, interviewing Mark Thompson.
Legends Library is, it's again where when we started the show. If you would have told me years ago that we were going to have people who we've never met before who actually wanted to contribute to our show, I'd have been like, "Wow, wouldn't that be cool?" I mean, how lucky would we be? And here we are talking to Rob, who does, you know, the espresso shots for us, and then Randy, who'd been sending us clips of stuff. He does some great voice work in his own right. And just always has great ideas for us. And then he said, "Hey, I really want to do a podcast with you guys." And we jumped at that because it was great. And whenever Roku Depot does their reviews of podcasts, they're always very complimentary of Legends Library. And if you're looking into the expanded universe or Legends, and you want to sort of figure out what books would be interesting or what they're talking about, the angles, Randy and Luke do a tremendous job. We're very fortunate to be able to have them on because they're awesome. I think next year for our end of the year, we probably need to have them on with Rob as well. I think that'd be pretty
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
that sounds great. That sounds really good.
What else do we have? We also had our, did you talk about Teresa being on?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. That was fun too. And this is another person that, all these people that we've admired their work. Again, we just can't stress enough where Corey and I are just a couple of goofballs, you know, and we're just fans and we're just like, what these people want to speak with us? It was really fun. It was really fun. We go to November. We're almost done with the year. Another huge month. It's hard to believe that 2015 could top this year for Star Wars. But I mean, what do we have? We had James Luceno, who was an amazing guy. You know, wrote Tarkin, which is a tremendous book. One of my all time favorite pieces of fiction in general.
Wow.
And that was great. Rob, did you get a chance to read Tarkin yet?
I haven't. No. I'll be honest. Not the biggest expanded universe fan. Mm-hmm. But I have made it one of my New Year's resolutions to read some more Star Wars books.
Sure. And it may help too. Novels. Sure. Yeah. And it may help to know that it all counts, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, you get these insights. And speaking of insights, we got to have Joe Taylor on, another, like Troy Metzler, a longtime friend of ours from Geeks Helping Geeks. And then he discussed Breaking Ranks with us. For Rebels Reactions, that was fun. We had Adam Watson of Stars in the Classroom for Out of Darkness, and that was phenomenal. And then we ended Rebels Reactions for Gathering Forces with Justin Bolger from the Force Cast. And all these guests, you know, brought these amazing insights. Rebels Reactions is a fun show because it's very different from our regular show, but we get to sit down and really break down and analyze what's going on here with Rebels. And I think that's fun. It's just neat to break these things down. It's kind of one of our other little visions for the show is to just, you know, examine Star Wars through a critical lens. That was fun.
Yeah. I got to ask you a question on Star Wars Rebels. If you can sum it up really quickly, what are your thoughts? What are your thoughts at this early stage of Star Wars Rebels?
Corey, go ahead.
Oh, well, easily said. You know, we're just breaking down the last year and I made a little top five list for myself just to mention maybe here at the end and Rebels, I'll preview it a little early. I mean, it's number two on my list.
Oh, really?
From last year. I just really gotten into it. And not only that, but my kids have also gotten into it. I think it's a phenomenal series. It's got such talent and such great storytelling in it. And it's just such this era we've never seen before. So it's brand new groundwork being laid as far as, you know, that the era that we all kind of grew up with, that's the same era as far as, you know, getting into A New Hope, you know, that's all we grew up with. And they're doing a great job of expressing that. And especially in younger fans and us as older fans, and it just bridges a really nice gap. So I think in itself, I'm really excited for the series to start back up and get back into it.
Yeah, I would echo that. It's, another element of full disclosure, Corey made a top five of the year and forgot to tell me, so I didn't make a top five. But I'm pretty sure I can think on my feet.
Yeah, well. Think on your feet.
I think I'll come up with something. But yeah, it's great. It's terrific. It sets more of the canvas of Star Wars, and there's just so much to it that adds to the mythology. And it's just it's cozy. I know that sounds weird, but it's just like it's like a. The good feelings you have from the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And it's not intimidating. Like Clone Wars can be intimidating. There are so many planets species and characters who right now, like if I saw a picture of them, I'd say, oh yeah, they're in Clone Wars. But I couldn't tell you like what season or what episode and because there's a lot to disseminate. And Rebels is just very welcoming. I think it's done a lot for Star Wars and fandom. I don't think it's done as much for Stormtroopers. I think
it's been like
no, yeah.
Whereas Clone Wars made me like Battle Droids more, it has not necessarily increased my love of Stormtroopers, which is already really high. But I love Rebels. I think it's great. And Rob, what about you?
Well, as you know, I'm a huge retro fan, and I get a retro vibe from Star Wars Rebels. I love the Ralph McQuarrie feel about the whole show. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as a kid, I had all these Ralph McQuarrie paintings on my wall, in between Gold Bikini Leia, of course. that's a different story.
Sure.
but it has, it has this very nice, and as you say, a cozy retro feel to the whole show. And, you got Frank Oz returning, James Earl Jones, who've done a bonus scene. And, yeah, to me, it just feels like classic Star Wars. And that's not taking anything away from the prequels or the Clone Wars. I love the shows. I love the prequels. But you look back at the Clone Wars in the first season, the first couple of episodes, and they were good. Don't get me wrong. But compare it to the first couple of episodes of Rebels, and for me, personally, it's on a whole different level.
I agree. It's, and honestly, to be fair, it's not even close. And Clone Wars is probably my... Yeah, exactly. Sure. It's not. I mean, Clone Wars, to me, my two favorite animated shows of all time are the Batman animated series and Clone Wars. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that once Rebels is done, it will be in the top three. But they're wonderful. I do want to pull an audible here. We got one email about our reviews of Rebels I'd like to share with everyone and mm-hmm. kind of get everyone's opinion on. It's from BP Draper, and he wrote, "Hi, Dan and Corey. I wanted to let you know that I've been listening to your podcast since you made a guest appearance on Full of Sith. I've since gone back and listened to all your past episodes. I've enjoyed your efforts to explore the lesser appreciated parts of the saga and figure out why they work. My concern is that you do not seem to be doing the same with your Rebels Reactions episodes. You seem so focused on taking a critical look at the show that you're missing out on how awesome it is. I do not listen to your podcast to find out what doesn't work in Rebels. I can think of those things on my own. What I want to do when I listen to your show is to geek out with you about the awesomeness, what we all love, Star Wars. I'm not one of those people that believes that my love of Star Wars endows me with the right to tear it down. After all, I love my wife, but that doesn't justify me pointing out all her flaws. So please, please, please focus on why the lesser appreciated parts of the show should be loved too. I look forward to listening to more positive episodes when Rebels returns in January. Thanks, BP Draper, who's the author of the Complete Bubbly Anthology. He does provide a link, which we'll put in the show notes. And he puts a PS, my youngest daughter understands that Hera is awesome and a boss, and she is only 3 years old. So stop complaining that she doesn't fit your idea of what she should be. Every fangirl I know that has seen the show recognizes that Hera is awesome. So I like this, and I think it's probably primarily focused on some of my comments, because I got to admit, when I do a Rebels Reactions, I kind of put on my my teacher slash burgeoning professor hat, and I start to that was for Craig. And I look at it, and I find myself being more critical. And Corey and I have had a lot of intense discussions about this. All from a good place of love. Mm-hmm. And for me, I like being critical. It's not being critical in a negative way. It's how I analyze and break it down. And I peel apart all the layers. And, you know, my wife is fond of saying, Dan, sometimes the curtains are just yellow. Not for me, they aren't. Not for me, they aren't. So that's one of the things that I love to do. And I do it from a place of love. But I certainly can empathize with what BP Draper is saying. I like his comparison of, you know, I love my wife, but I don't point out all her flaws. And that's wise. And I certainly don't wish to alienate anyone with those thoughts. It's just one of the things that I enjoy doing. But I agree. As far as the Hera thing goes, I think my issue with Hera has always been, I want a Hera-centered episode. That's what I want. And I'm always going to want that. And so once I get that, I'm sure I'll be able to put that part to rest. But I love Rebels. I think it's tremendous. And BP, I applaud you for your comments, and I welcome them. What about you guys?
Well, I think if you sit down and you have a chat with friends on a show that you both like, and you're critical, and you start, you know, getting into the nitty gritty, and you get really critical, isn't that sometimes a sign that you love the show?
I think so. It is for me.
Yeah, I mean, I've done this with my friends. You know, one of my favorite films is Jaws, but we have, you know, we've actually sat down and done our own audio director's commentary.
Ooh.
And you know, we've been critical of the film, even though I think it's probably one of the most perfect films ever made.
Agreed.
You know, we will still sit down and go, yeah, you know, that could have been, you know, could have been done better. I'm sure we couldn't have done it better, but you know what I mean.
Sure. For sure. Yeah.
This is up after a couple of beers, guys, you know.
Right.
but you know, we still love the film. I love Rebels. Someone asked me the question the other day, what did you think of Rebels? What did you think of the first episode of Rebels? And I said, well, I absolutely loved it. I thought it was just fantastic. You've got these three-dimensional characters in the very first episode, which is so hard to do. However, if I had to pick one thing about Rebels was the look of the Wookiees in the very first episode. They looked like a 1990s video game cutscene.
Yes.
You know. But that's not to say that I love the show and I've watched it multiple times. And I think sometimes criticizing something in depth and being passionate about it, it's just showing your love for the show.
Yeah. You know, as far as my thoughts go, I mean, first of all, I want to thank BP for writing this in because,
For sure.
You know, and being honest too, because anything we can do to, you know, just make our show better, improve ourselves. Exactly. Yeah. And honestly, everyone's welcome to write in their thoughts, what you think, and post reviews. I love reading those kind of things. And you know, I think it comes down to fandom as far as when we talk about things. You talk about Jaws or talk about any movie you love, you're going to break it down and go, ah, that part was okay or that part. I mean, it, all in all, you're still going to love it by the end of the day. You're still going to say, that was my favorite movie ever. My favorite movie ever is Raiders of the Lost Ark. Mm, is there parts too. I don't like? There are. Do I fast forward? Well, I mean, there are. I mean, in a sense, it's not going to be a complete perfect movie at frame every frame. I mean, there can be parts where you're going to say, well, that part really didn't line up right, but it works. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just because that's movie, that's film, it's a medium where, you know, it's just, you're not going to get it perfectly every time. But us as fans, like, I'm going to go back and say, just us as fans, we tend to be so critical because we love it so much. You put it just right, Rob. I mean, we love it so much. Mm-hmm. And yes, we wouldn't want to break down our wives or whoever partners and
our co-hosts.
But you know, of course, we do it out of love. I mean, we love each other, and I think that if something was to come up and be critical of, it'd be out of love. You know, say, listen, you know, I don't like that shirt on you, Dan, because it makes your eyes look bad. I don't know.
That would be weird.
It'd be weird, but
I don't like that shit either.
See, it's all about love, buddy. That's so, right.
We don't slice and dice. We critique and we analyze. But yeah, one thing we'll never be is sycophants. We're not just going to like everything because that's just not realistic. And, and it's not. I don't think it's really genuine. I mean, there's going to be some things that hit you the wrong way. Like, I mean, there are certain things about your kids that you're like, well, I wish they did that a little bit better. I wish they'd pick that off the floor. But, you know, like you guys said, it comes from a place of love. So I think we've talked about this enough, but very good thoughts. And I love what you guys said. Before we move on to December, we had 9 shows in November. That's crazy. We had the second Winding Down with Williams, which meant so much to me in December. December's a busy month for me because I have a ton of grading to do for my composition classes. And Rob, that was just the perfect bomb to get through it. And not that I don't enjoy grading them, but sometimes, you know, that can be pretty intense. So it's very relaxing.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Yeah, that's the whole aim of the show, is to make it relaxing. You know, and to do exactly what it says on the tin. You know, at the end of the day, if you've had a hard day in work or school, Winding Down with Williams is to do that. It's just put your headphones on, relax, and listen to some relaxing John Williams renditions.
It just what the doctor ordered. Show 26. It's always funny to me. It seems like our months with a ton of shows. We only have one regular show. October, we only have one regular show. November, we only have one regular show. But what a show it was. I mean, we had James Sharon of Bombad Radio. He was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was so much fun to talk to. We had a good conversation about the Jedi, and that was wonderful. And then our last one for the month was the Force Awakens teaser trailer.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wait, my goodness.
Wait, there's been a trailer?
Oh, no. Have you not heard about it?
Why haven't you told me about
it? you were probably busy watching the 50 Shades of Grey trailer, I guess.
My most anticipated movie of 2015.
Happy Valentine's Day.
It's not. It really isn't, honest.
Well, of course not. Of course not. That was a very fun show because that really was, as we said on it, it was our immediate reactions. And we didn't get a chance to read anything or look at anything or find out what other people were saying. We just sort of went from our gut. It was incredibly fun. And, of course, we've even gone even further with it. But it was a fun show. And November was a really fun month.
Yeah, Force Awakens teaser trailer. I mean, wow.
How many times did you go watch it so far since now?
I've lost count. I've lost count.
Yeah, me too.
I don't know. I know it's under 20, but it's over 10.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
That's good.
That makes sense. Yeah.
But it's 88 seconds of
bliss.
Of new Star Wars. I mean, just thinking about it now, I mean, when you see the X-Wing and the Falcon, I got goosebumps. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can't.
Have any of you seen it on the big screen?
No. I went to a movie this past weekend, and it wasn't on the trailer. It wasn't in the trailer, so...
What'd you see?
I went and saw Interstellar.
Oh, how was it?
Oh, it was excellent.
Was it really?
Really good. Really fantastic.
I saw the new Hobbit. It was my favorite of the three.
Okay.
And I specifically went to a certain movie theater farther away out than I normally would because I had heard from a student that they showed it, and they didn't.
I
saw three previews for the Netflix Marco Polo TV show. One was enough.
Yeah.
I've kind of seen it on the big screen because I've got a projector, so I can link it up to my laptop. So
That counts.
I've kind of seen it on the big screen.
That's cool.
Very good. Well, as we're breaking down our year here, it's been a wonderful year. We're getting to last month here, December, and it in itself was an excellent month. Got to talk to Taylor Gray, the voice of Ezra, and he was great. He was such a great guy to have on. I got to talk to the guys from the Wolfpack and Show 27, and they were good as well as far as, you know, just being just a great podcast and great guys, just great fans and love what they do, and I love talking to other podcasts because you get a sense of camaraderie as far as you know you both put out a show that deals with either a certain topic or a certain piece of fandom, and it's easy to get along with folks that kind of are in the same trenches as you are. So it's a lot of fun. We saw Legend Library come out with the next portion of their show with Dark Forces Rising. And Show 28, we wrapped up with Steve Sansweet talking all the stuff going on there as far as we talked about earlier, the Force Awakens trailer. Got to talk about that with him. And, of course, our friends at Star Wars in the Classroom.
Another long time coming.
Yeah, yeah. That's as well. They talked about all the stuff going on with them and how to get involved there. And we talked about, you know, all the news that's been coming out as far as a second season of Rebels, some of the character names that popped up, Frank Oz returning to Rebels React, or the Rebels animated TV show, and then we had Tom Kane on for Clone Wars, and he was excellent, a lot of fun to have on again. Every guest we have on is just excellent and at the top of their form, and we couldn't be more excited for 2015.
I released that Christmas night. That was one we always wanted for like a holiday treat. And
yeah.
What a treat it was. And for me, the biggest treat, and maybe, I don't know if I mean, you know, scrambling to put my top five together, it could be number one, hearing Yoda say, the podcast you're looking for, this is,
that was a lot of cool.
That was very cool.
I
never would have dreamed in a million years we could have got a chance to hear that. So that was great. And what a great guy. Cool.
Yeah, I tell you, you mentioned they revealed some of the characters for The Force Awakens. The way that they did that, I think that's one of my favorite of 2014.
Same here.
You know, just again, the retro theme, which I keep coming back to, but to have the, you know, to do it in the style of Topps vintage trading cards. It's what a masterful stroke that was.
So classy too.
Oh, it was just fantastic. Because, you know, obviously with The Force Awakens, they want to bring in a new audience, but they've got to keep the old audience new. They've got to keep them happy as well. You know, so to do stuff like that with the, you know, the retro Topps trading cards, it's very clever. And I just hope Topps to actually do bring out trading cards for Force Awakens like that.
Oh, yes.
With the dodgy bubble gum and the, you know, whatever that white powder was on the bubble gum, you know? but that would be fantastic, wouldn't it, if they did that?
Wouldn't it though?
You know, and on the back, you know, you have to make up a puzzle of a classic poster, of a Force Awakens poster. Please take my money now. That would just
be absolutely.
Exactly.
From your mouth to Topps' ears, that would be great.
Absolutely.
So an amazing 2014, and I'm thinking 2015 is the year of Star Wars, on our calendars for sure, and everyone else's calendars, no doubt about it. But what did we miss, guys? We kind of went over basically what we covered in our year at Coffee with Kenobi. But any particular stories that you'd like to kind of look at before we ask Rob his five questions?
I tell you what I like about 2014 is this is kind of makes your job a lot more difficult, is the lack of information on the film.
Interesting. Tell us about that.
Well, I remember, I'm old enough to remember 1976. And you know, I was five years old, obviously, but even with Empire and Return of the Jedi, I just remember going into these films with relatively not that much knowledge of the films. And I know that J.J. Abrams is trying to do the same thing. And you know, apart from having an 88-second teaser trailer and a few names being mentioned, we haven't had that much information on Force Awakens.
No.
And I'll be honest, and I hope that carries on into 2015.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Hmm. It goes very much along the lines of our no spoiler policy, but I enjoy them slowly divvying out information, and like the imagination is such a powerful thing, and it lets you go a lot of places that you couldn't normally go. So just that build up, this is finally we're going to see a new Star Wars film. It's January 1st as of the recording, but knowing that there's stuff out there, but there's not that much, there's just so much more to look forward to, so much more to enjoy, so much to anticipate, and that's a beautiful thing. I know there have been a lot of mixed emotions about it, but I wouldn't change a thing. I love how they're releasing the information. It's really added to the excitement for me.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I loved as well was just little throwaway lines on Twitter, like the official StarWars.com. on Twitter when they said, yes, that's John Williams' new score in the trailer.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that throwaway line.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you might be interested in this.
Yeah. I know you've had a lot of awesomeness, guys, but here's a little bit more. You know, I just love the way that they're approaching this film and the way that they're just getting the information out there. But I just hope we don't get too much. It's inevitable that we're going to get a full trailer. But I hope they don't give too much away in that, to be honest.
Me too.
Yeah.
Carl, what about you?
Yeah, one thing that we didn't talk about too much was the new StarWars.com. I know Rob had some thoughts on that. We were featured as far as the community page there. Our podcast popped up as
well. Yeah, we were on the first round. That was
and
awesome.
That was, I mean, I remember the day when we were taking screenshots, just like 18, 19, 20 different screenshots of just, you know, look at this angle. No, but it was a lot of fun. And I know, Dan, for you personally, you're right for them as well. So I think that's a big, huge thrill as far as 2014 and the website there.
It's still something that every day it just makes me smile. I'm very blessed. I'm very blessed. It's a tremendous amount of fun and kind of know a lot of great people through it. And it's, that I did a blog on Scrooge and Darth Vader in a comparison. And that was, It was shared over 14,000 times.
Wow.
Wow.
I can't get over that. I don't know. That's got to be a glitch. That doesn't
it's
seem
me.
Possible.
Just keep refreshing the page.
Yeah. Well, yeah, thanks,
I was
going to
say
that, Corey.
Sure. I was helping too.
I appreciate that, Rob. Yeah. A lot of fun.
I've got to say on the Star Wars website, it was crying out for change. Mm-hmm. But the new design, if anybody wanted to give an example of how a website should look, especially for a big franchise, just go and have a look at StarWars.com. They're not paying me to say this. Yeah. I mean, it's just so clean. It's easy on the eye. You know, it caters for every kind of Star Wars fan as well. But yeah, as you say, the content is incredible, especially as you say, when you get certain Coffee with Kenobi members writing for Star Wars, you know, for the site as well. But yeah, I mean, it's the new site is incredible. Very, very well done to the guys, whoever did that.
Very much. And thanks for your kind words about my blog too. I appreciate it. Is that appropriate to say cheers?
Yeah, you can say cheers. Yeah.
I'm going to say cheers. Yeah.
Cheers. I like that. Cheers.
That's great. We also talked about, you know, the change in the canonical look and Rebels coming out at the end of Clone Wars, actually getting to see a new season. It's been fun. Mm-hmm. There's also a website that we love very, very much that had a new look, and that's the Bearded Trio. Rob, tell us about that.
I never heard of it.
Yeah, I think you'll really like it.
Yeah, it's a good one. Check it out.
I think you'll find yourself in it more than you realize.
Yeah, the Bearded Trio is it's a site which I started about 5 years ago, purely because I love John Williams, George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, and I just wanted to get that love out there onto the internet. So I started that 5 years ago, and it's grown. It's gone from strength to strength, and we've got a fabulous team behind us. You know, we update on a daily basis, and as you say, we've just had a complete redesign. I'm hoping it looks a bit fresher.
It's great.
Oh, thanks very much. Thank you.
Yeah, it really is.
Cheers.
He didn't pay me to say that.
Yeah, I mean,
great. I would have given the money back because it's great. It looks wonderful. I mean, it's your website has always been tops among fandom and distributing information and just having a very sincere and honest approach. And you tell it how you see it. And you're a very positive, intelligent guy. So it's one of my favorite websites to visit. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you very much. That does actually mean a lot. Yeah, and it makes it all worthwhile. It really does.
And we know how much time goes into that kind of thing too, and it's always updated, always fresh.
Yeah, I mean, we try to update on a daily basis. We keep our ears to the ground on any Spielberg, George Lucas, John Williams news, and of course, I mean, it is quite busy at the moment. There's a lot going on, you know, I wouldn't be able to do it with such a good team behind us. And I also want to thank you guys, Coffee with Kenobi, for promoting the site, and you know, you're an extended family of the Bearded Trio, and I really want to thank you guys.
Oh, absolutely! Thank you for
pleasure's ours.
For pleasure's definitely ours. Thank you for being letting us be a part of it and being a part of Coffee with Kenobi. Because I mean, we didn't talk about this, but your video blog on the top 10 Star Wars video games, not only was it picked up by StarWars.com, but it is the most viewed post we've ever had, and that's because it was amazing.
I really enjoyed making that. I mean, as much as I'm not an expanded universe fan, I have played every Star Wars game over the years.
Wow.
Which is classed as expanded universe. I really enjoyed making that top 10 Star Wars video game video, and to see it on StarWars.com and
what a thrill.
And the people, you know, the traffic was just incredible. I don't know where I go from there, though.
Well, I mean, you just keep on. That's what I was thinking. What's he going to do next?
Yeah, that's me too. Yeah. Good luck.
Yeah, I'm going to need it.
I have a feeling the Force will be very strong with you. It always has been.
Oh, thank you very much, guys.
You bet. So, 2015. Let's talk about what we can look forward to from the Bearded Trio and from Coffee with Kenobi in 2015. Rob, What do you have coming up for us in the near future?
Well, we obviously more of the same. We're going to be updating daily. The team has just increased as well. But I've just booked tickets for London Film Comic Con, where Back to the Future, or most of the Back to the Future cast, mm-hmm. they'll be reuniting. So I'll be reporting from London for that weekend. So that's going to be awesome. I'm trying to get an interview with Christopher Lloyd.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
You know, I'm trying my best, but more of the same. Obviously the fresher looking website as well. But of course we've got things like Jurassic World, which is coming up.
Looks amazing.
Well. Yeah, it does. It looks good. You know, Colin Trevorrow's mm-hmm. take on the Jurassic Park universe. That's going to be an interesting one. We've got the final season of Fallen Skies, which Spielberg is executive producer for. And of course, you know, Star Wars. And of course, in January, we've got George Lucas' Strange Magic, haven't we? Lucasfilm. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So a lot to report on in 2015.
And Corey, what can we look forward to from us in 2015? You have any surprises for me?
We've got so many things going on as far as interviews and guests, and I know we're looking at getting back on Rebels Reactions as that starts back up. Of course, you know, we can't stop talking about Celebration this year. We're only months away, and Dan and I've kind of got everything kind of narrowed in and kind of getting the schedule together for each day and what we mm-hmm. want to do, and looking forward to that. It's going to be a huge event. We also, I don't know if you want me to announce it, but we'll be in Indianapolis
very soon in March.
So just before Celebration, we'll be in Indianapolis Comic-Con, having a blast there and having a good time as far as kind of a precursor to Celebration.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be doing that. Of course, you know, Star Wars, all the information that comes out from anything Star Wars official that we'll be reporting on and getting our hands into, and it's gonna be a great year. I'm looking forward to it because, like you said, this is kind of the year of Star Wars. I think it's gonna be a huge year for merchandising. A lot of big books are coming out. We're hoping to get our hands on to as well.
Have you started Luke's book?
I have not. I'm looking forward to start this month. So
it's pretty cool.
Good.
Yeah, new Luke Skywalker book is it's worth the wait. I love the first person perspective. It's so far so good.
Good deal. Yeah. So
and we have we already recorded our first interview for 2015, and it's from Jordan White, Jordan mm-hmm. D. White, the editor for Star Wars, the new Star Wars Marvel Comics, and that was a lot of fun. And
yes.
Look for that very, very soon. In fact, it may already be out by the time you hear this, but if it's possibly even more excited about the Star Wars comics, this interview will do it for you because there's so much promise.
That'll be good.
Yeah, very good. We're hoping to get more of the cast on from Clone Wars, and we just have a few left for the cast of Rebels, so we hope to have them on Rebels Reactions. That would be nice.
Yeah.
Look for some returning guests and some fan favorites. Hope to get more of our bloggers on, and certainly, Rob, we hope to have you on again in the near future. Not take so long to have you on again, because this has been wonderful. The three of us together had even better chemistry than I expected.
Oh yeah, it's been this is great fun. I want to do more.
Absolutely. Well, I think we can arrange that. So it's time, Corey. I think it's,
yes,
time.
It's
we ask our good friend here the five Star Wars questions.
Yes, Rob. The first question: what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Oh boy, favorite Star Wars movie. That's a really difficult one. It's like asking me what my favorite chocolate is. I love A New Hope because it was the first movie. It was the first Star Wars I went to see when I was 5 or 6 years old, and it literally changed my life. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get enough of Star Wars from that moment on, and my brother took me to see it, and I was bugging him on the way home on a double decker bus. You know, hum the John Williams, hum the theme tune. So, so even at a young age, I was a John Williams fan. But I think, really, I'd have to say Return of the Jedi.
Wow.
Now I know that Empire Strikes Back is technically the best one, but I was just at the right age for Return of the Jedi. You know, I was about 11 years old. So I was soaking up absolutely everything to do with Star Wars. You know, the Kenner figures, the sticker albums, posters, books. And I just remember, I have this vivid memory of sitting in the front row of a cinema with my friend. And back then, as a kid, sitting in the front row, you know, you get a bad neck, but it was just something special to sit in the front row watching a film. But I just remember watching Return of the Jedi and seeing the opening scene with the Imperial shuttle and the familiar sound effects of Star Wars, and just having a huge smile on my face, thinking, more Star Wars, more Star Wars. And I just know that's where I'm going to be like in December.
You bet.
I'm going to be that 11-year-old, probably not in the front row, but I'm going to be that 11. I'm going to be that 11-year-old again, thinking more Star Wars.
I think the next time I sit in the front row of a Star Wars movie, it's going to be because my eyes are so bad because I'm old and I just sit in the front.
Soon enough, my friend.
Yo, nice. So, Rob, who was your favorite character?
Oh, that's I've got a few. I do like Watto from Episode One.
Me too.
And if I can just talk Star Trek, I wasn't going to go through the whole show without talking Star Trek, guys.
No problem.
Go for it.
No problem. We like it too.
If I could talk Star Trek, I mean, he reminds me. I love any episode of Star Trek with Ferengis in, and he reminds me of a Ferengi. He's like the Ferengi of the Star Wars universe. So I do like Watto. You think it's some kind of Jedi? I love that. I do that quite a bit in work, you know, when someone's trying to get something out of me and you see their hand waving around, and I do quote that line. I think really Yoda is my favorite. I love the Dagobah scenes in Empire, Return of the Jedi. Yoda and the Force and the Death of Yoda themes by John Williams. The two of my favorite, all-time favorite John Williams tracks. And I tell you what I like about Yoda is we've still got a huge mystery behind him. We've got 900 years of past, and relatively not that much is known about Yoda. And I like that, and I hope that never changes.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a sentimental reason why I like Yoda as well. It's because it was one of the first figures that my father had bought me. He just went out, come back one day, and said, "Here you go." And I was just like, "Wow, a Yoda figure." And I think it's just that little sentimental feel has stayed with me. So I think Yoda is definitely my favorite. It's very wise as well.
That's excellent. Your favorite line of dialogue or film moment?
Favorite line of dialogue, I think it has to be Yoda, which is "Do or do not, there is no try." For such a short sentence, I find it so difficult to adhere to those words.
Mm-hmm.
But I do try.
That's good.
Oh, irony. That's great. If you collect, what is your favorite collectible that you own?
If I collect.
It's kind of my reaction to it as well.
I'm surrounded by, as I said, I'm surrounded right now by Kenner Star Wars figures. I've got all my whole loose collection next to me in a glass cabinet. My wife has this habit of sneaking into the geek room when I'm not around, especially around about Christmas time or my birthday, to see if there's any missing. And she'll do a bit of research, because I've also got all the Steve Sansweet books as well.
Oh, yeah.
And she'll try and get a bit of information out of me. And in 2008, for Christmas, she bought me a mint yak face.
Wow.
I was just blown away by it, you know, the fact that she did that research, you know, and even though she's not into Star Wars, you know, there I unwrapped a yak face. So for me, my favorite, that's actually one of my favorite collectibles.
That's great. So as far as Star Wars, what particular messages or themes about the saga resonate or speak to you?
That's a good question.
I think for me, the message I get from Star Wars, and I picked this up as at a young age, is if you have the right people around you, if you have close friends who believe in you, family that believe in you, and they have faith in you and you have faith in them, whatever is in front of you, whatever task is in front of you, with the right people around you, you can do practically anything. And you got this small band of people in Star Wars that brought down a whole empire, and they trusted each other, believed in each other, and had faith in each other, and they had faith in the mission and what they believed in as well. And for me, I picked that up at a young age, that it's not about having loads of people around you. It's about having the right people around you. And I picked that up from Star Wars.
That's wonderful. Yet again, someone answers this question in a way that we've never thought of or heard before. So that's great, Rob. I agree. It's that community, which is what Star Wars fandom is too. It's a beautiful community. We're just thrilled to be a part of it, and just thrilled again to for our friendship, our collaboration, and Coffee with Kenobi and the Bearded Trio. That's a great tandem, and we're thrilled to be a part of it. Rob, where can listeners reach out to you and get in touch with you to say hello or ask you a question?
They can contact me via email if they want to, rob@thebeardedtrio.com. They can also just go to the website and click on About Us, www.thebeardedtrio.com. And we also have Facebook and Twitter accounts as well. So just type in The Bearded Trio and you will find us.
You bet. And we will, of course, certainly have those linked to our show notes. Rob Wainford, thanks so much for being a part of the show today and being a blogger and just being you and everything you do for Star Wars and fandom. Have a wonderful new year, and we can't wait to talk to you in the future.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. And cheers to a spectacular 2015. May the Force be with you.
Our topic for show number 30 is vintage Kenner Star Wars collecting. What is it about this classic line that is so endearing? What are some of your prized moments concerning the collectibles, and which are some of your favorites? Joining us on this topic is Mark Belomo of The Ultimate Guide to Vintage Star Wars Action Figures, 1977 to 1985. In 300 words or less, be sure to send us an email or MP3 with your thoughts, comments, questions, and opinions to feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com.
I like the sound of that.
Chewie, get us out of here!
If you would like to respond to our question of the show, have a comment, or just want to say hello, send us an email or MP3 at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for either of us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coreyc@coffeewithkenobi.com, or visit us at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section, or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review in iTunes. You can also like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. You can also find us on Tumblr at coffeewithkenobi.tumblr.com. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
That's it for show number 29 of Coffee with Kenobi. A big thank you to Rob Wayne for sharing a cup of coffee with us and discussing the year in Star Wars. Be sure to check out The Bearded Trio for all the latest information on Steven Spielberg, George Lucas, and John Williams.
Thanks to Rob at The Bearded Trio, to Randy and Luke from Legends Library, media specialist Lisa, comic scribe Matt, our bloggers Melinda, Becca, Pam, Craig, James, Jay, Jeff, Troy, Joe, writer Alex, and Father James. Thanks also to everyone who contributed to this show, to all of you out there who listen to and email Coffee with Kenobi each and every week. Don't forget to send us your comments, questions, and opinions on the topic for show number 30, Vintage Kenner Star Wars Collecting.
This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names, sounds, and any other Star Wars related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney and their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here. Move along. Move along.